Okay, everyone, my name's Sean. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sean.
And I'm also a drug addict, and since it's after hours, I'll probably discuss that just a little bit. This is How It Works at Work. I'd like to thank the workshop committee for asking me to do this. It's an honor to be of service here. It's been a great weekend. I've enjoyed all the speakers. Lyle tonight was just incredible and really rejuvenated me. I'd like to start out by kind of qualifying myself real briefly, let you know how I got this honorable position to be at The Rock speaking. You might wonder, I'm 30 years old. I got sober in 1997 when I was just shy of being 25. My drinking career lasted about 10 years. In that time, I went through 15 different treatment centers. I was facing 5 years prison. I've been unemployed for about 3 years. I was drinking every single day for weeks at a time, blackout drinker. I was also addicted to cocaine and shooting intravenous morphine. And by the grace of God, I no longer have to live that way. I was actually fortunate enough before my disease got real bad to get into the field of nursing. I was actually went to college, University of Georgia, go Dogs, in 1990 to be a physician, started out. And my drinking by then was already getting progressively worse with each quarter. So I went from being a physician, I was going to be a nurse anesthetist. That's a specialty nurse administering anesthesia, which makes perfect sense for a drunk and a drug addict. And then after it continued to get worse, I decided I'd just be a regular nurse, registered nurse. And due to my disease and addiction, I lost the right to do that for quite some time. That's enough about my disease. Qualify myself. Basically, like I said, I got sober in 1997 through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps, and having a confident sponsor. After I got sober, I began to work on getting my nursing license back. And with, as Lyle spoke tonight, amazing things happen once you get sober and start working the steps. I did get my license back after almost being a felon, after having the state and DA come down on me. I got my license back, and I went into home health profession, where I excelled by applying the principles of the program, and went from being a case manager supervisor, to a case manager, to a regional manager of a home health care company within a two-year span, and had about 45 people underneath me in my department, and it was about a $35, $40 million a year company. I decided that I wanted to be my own boss after a couple of years of that, and in 2000, I moved away from the Atlanta area, which I'd gotten involved with a bunch of people in AA and CA and got involved in the Landman's Workshop, and moved down to St. Simons, where I decided to get back into a business that I was in and out of in college, and that was the restaurant business. And I opened up a restaurant and bar with 3.5 years sober. So I am a restaurant and a bar owner, and that's one reason why I've been chosen to do this. I work about 60 hours a week in a deli and pub. I have at my disposal about anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 worth of alcohol at any given time. And that's from a person that used to could not go a single day without drinking or drugging. That's from a person who was being detoxed in the medical hospital one time. As soon as they unplugged the IV, I snuck off to the library, scaled up the wall, through the ceiling, down into the pharmacy, and was trying to break into the pharmacy when the nurse came in, and she was more shocked than I was. So basically, I had a pretty malignant case of alcoholism and drug addiction, and today I recoil from it like a hot flame. So I want to talk a little bit about how I got from there to here. And basically, it's very simple. It talks about in the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the alcoholic who still suffers and practice these principles in all our affairs. To me, that means not only in my affairs in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous or here the weekend of the workshop, but also at my place of business and at my home. It's a very simple concept. On page 14, I'm going to go refer to the big book a little bit. On page 14 in Bill's story, it says, and he's talking about his conversation with Ebbie Thatcher, he says, "My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs." Then it goes on page 19, there is a solution. It says, we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. On page 83, it says, spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And then on page 86, the last paragraph, it says, we may face indecision. However, we ask for God's inspiration, we relax and take it easy. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Thy will be done. So, one of the most challenging things that I face today as a business owner, being an employer, is dealing with the people that I have to manage. And sometimes that can be very challenging, dealing with trying to incorporate the principles of the program with people that have no idea about the program or the principles that are behind it. But it's almost like when you're making those amends to somebody, it has nothing to do with how they take it. I've got to be steadfast and then follow my principles. And sometimes they understand and sometimes they don't. When I think about the principles that I try to incorporate on a daily basis, and obviously I sometimes do fall short, the keys, and it's basically the principles that are behind the steps. Honesty. I try to be honest and forthright with my employees. Humble. I try to realize that, you know, I can't do it by myself. You know, no matter how much my ego wants to tell me that I'm the man, the bottom line is I can't do everything, that I am somewhat dependent upon these people. Open-mindedness. That's something that's very important, not only in my position currently, but also when I was an employee. And this is vice versa. I'm speaking as both being an employee and being an employer. Willingness to take on suggestions. Integrity. Saying what I mean and meaning what I say. Perseverance. Faith. And tolerance. Tolerance of other people's ideas and their situations that they're in. Some other things that are very important to me and that I try to do is being punctual. I know when I was actively drinking and drugging, I never thought the rules applied to me. And oddly enough, they did. And I found that, you know, I have no right to not be on time. I have no right to not have a positive attitude. And so today I practice. I try to be places on time. I try to have a positive attitude. And I believe, and I try to share this with my employees, that, you know, if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And I found that incorporating the steps really has helped me in just about every single circumstance I've been in with business. Early on, it was very simple, you know, just trying to get there on time, having a positive attitude, being willing to do what my employer asked of me. And you find that people really respect that and they appreciate that. I know for me, now on the other side, an employee that comes in, has a positive attitude, is accountable and dependable, that is not constantly trying to stir the waters, is such a valuable member to me. And in this day and age, it's having trustworthy, confident people to work with is sometimes very difficult, and it's very important. So with that, it's pretty brief, but that was my part. We're going to let Larry talk, and then we'll open up for some discussion.
Hey, family, my name is Larry Richardson. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. All my friends call me Doc. And when I tell you I'm an alcoholic, you can believe that because I am an alcoholic. I don't have to qualify. Well, you know, I'm a drunk. Plain and simple, you know, and just like most other drunks, you know, I lived the life of a drunk and I drank to use and used to live and all that good stuff, you know. But that's not why we're here tonight. We're here to talk about how these steps and how the principles that we have in our program, how can we apply them in the workplace. I tell you about me. I've been in the automobile business for the last 20 years. I'm a car salesman. Let me use car salesman. So if there's any place where you need to practice principles is on a used car lot, on somebody's car lot. Huh? You know, I was in a meeting the other day. The guy told me, he says, hey, I had just went to this meeting for the first time. The guy says, well, you need to keep coming back because you're going to be the first honest car salesman I've seen in all my days. And I'm just dying to meet one. And I mean, you know, that's kind of like how public opinion is and how folks think about it, you know. But what I do on my work, and I just try to practice the principles. You know, my sponsor told me that, you know, you have something that nobody else has. So you have 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 promises, and 12 concepts. And the rest of the world don't have that. You know, and then he also gave me four other spiritual principles that I try to use. And that's tolerance, patience, love, and purity. You know, and I got that from my great-grand sponsor who's no longer with us. But I try to apply those principles into my life and into my working situation. And sometimes it's a tough thing to do. You know, while I've been in the car business, I've had a lot of particular positions and a lot of jobs. Yeah, I started out on the front line selling cars from day to day. I got into the car business as a work-study student over in Birmingham. I was a student at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Go Blazers. And the guy, one of my deans, I was majoring in marketing, and one of my deans just thought that I would be a good car salesman. You know, I didn't have no idea that, you know, what it was all amount to. But anyway, I went in. And I worked there, and I sold cars, and I did it good. You know, it was just like the same thing we go through with alcoholism. You know, it was one of those quick fixes. You know, this is the only industry I know where you can be a bum one day and rich the next. You know, and for me to take that and to work with it and try to apply these principles in it and to integrate what I've learned in here and use it out there. It has been very fascinating. It has been very fascinating. And I'm very, very grateful to this fellowship because, and to my sponsor, and not only my sponsor, but a lot of other people that I come into contact on a day-to-day basis because they have shown me how to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. You know, I've hired a lot of people through my career. I came from a salesman. I've been finance manager, sales manager, general sales manager, been a dealer school. A lot of all came real close, came that close. I mean that close to having my own dealership, you know. And then the whole rug was pulled out from under me, and I fell on my face. And y'all came and put your arms around me, and I got back up. The whole deal is how do we deal with that? How do we deal with our successes and how do we deal with our failures? And there's one thing, like Lyle was talking about a little earlier ago, and that's the spiritual principles. You know, we that's the only thing that we can hold on to is our spiritual principles. The spiritual principle of honesty. You know, and you say, well, how can a car salesman practice the spiritual principle of honesty? You know, you just don't lie. You know, you just don't lie. You know, and a lot of people look at me and they say, well, how can you sell cars and not lie? Well, I just don't tell the whole story. No, I'm not just joking. I was just waiting to see when you woke up out there. No. You know, when I have customers come in, the only thing that I can do is to just to tell them and to share with them what I have. You know, I mean, I have something that they want, and they have something that I want. And we come together and we have a mutual exchange. And in order for that transition to take place, it is not necessary for me to lie to them. It is not necessary for me to cheat anyone. People talk about, how can you charge people, you know, all this money for something? And in the society that we live in, you know, it's like buyers beware. You know, I mean, there is a point of my responsibility and there's a point of their responsibility. And those two responsibilities have to come together. And I only have so much responsibility. You know, what my responsibility is to provide you the best service that I possibly can, to not to lie to you, to not to misrepresent my product, my company, or the people that I work for. And that's a real serious thing, and I take it real serious. You know, I really do. I've had people come in and tell me all kinds of stories about, you know, their trade-in and their cars, and I say, yeah, right, okay, buddy, you know, here we go. Here we go. But that's okay. But that's okay. Another principle that I have to apply to the business is acceptance. When I first started getting into management, I began to hire people, and a lot of us would come in. You know, and I get the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with people that just don't have a clue. Just don't have a clue. And that's okay. You know, because I think that's why God placed me in that position in the first place. That's what I'm there for. You know, I have had situations to come up it's kind of like mind-boggling. I was like, well, why did you do that? And then it dawns on me, says, oh yeah, I forgot, he's a drunk. You know, he's a drunk, you know. And my business is tough. I don't want to make no bones about it, it's real tough. And it's not a real easy thing to do, to practice the principles of this fellowship in all the time. But I try. And just like the book says, you know, I'm not a saint. And I'll be lying to you if I told you that I was. And I'll be lying to you if I told you that I did everything right and I went down and I did all the, you know, all the checks and balances. And that's not true. That's not true. The only thing I do is I just try to do it the best as I humanly can. And I just try to give it my best. I give it 100% and I'm there every day doing it one day at a time. And that's the other thing that I take to work with me. I take the concept of one day at a time. You know, I go to work and I say that, you know, if I'm giving my employer 100%, a whole day's work, then I expect a day's pay. You know, if I go in there and I'm on time and I'm doing everything that I humanly possibly can do to do my job, and if I'm not just, you know, I'm not just sitting around. I know guys, guys are hired. They come to work and they sit around all day, you know, and they're waiting on the up to come in or they wait. And I'm saying, well, you know, are you giving it your all? You know, are you giving it 100%? You know, are you on the phone? Are you following up? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Some of these guys, they do it and some of them, they don't do it. Those that do it, they are successful. Those that don't do it, then I'll see you later. You know, and it's a tough thing to tell a guy, says, well, you know, you're not doing your job. I've probably been fired in more dealerships than anybody in these rows there, you know. But that's just the nature of my business. Another thing is that I don't have no resentments about it. I know that as long as if I can honestly look myself in the mirror and say, well, Doc, have you gave it your best? Have you done your all? And if the answer is yes, then I don't have no remorse about it. I don't have no resentment about it. What I do is I help people to solve problems. And the result of that is the money and all those other things that come along with it, you know. And it just so happened that I'm in a business that produces a lot of money and guys make a lot of money. And so people think that we have to do something underhandedly to get it. And that's not necessarily true. A lot of times I have employers when I talk to dealers, and I've been all over this country in various car dealerships, from North Dakota to North Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi. I mean, I've been in and out of a lot of stores throughout the country, and I see how these particular businesses are operated. And that I'll run. And yeah, there are some unscrupulous people. But most of the part, people are pretty much honest. And I try to be honest as well, because the thing about it is, people just don't want to be dishonest. I was talking to my wife about this deal and about this talk here. And I said, well, honey, you know, what do you think I ought to say? And she says, well, you know, the most important spiritual principle is humility. You know, in working in the workplace and in working with a boss, one has to be humble. Because he realizes that Yeah, this guy, yeah, you're producing a service for him. You're working for him. You're producing a service, but you have a job to do, and he has a job to do. Okay, and you two are coming together trying to make the whole picture work and to have an even exchange, because he pay you. If you're an hourly worker, if you go to work 8 hours, work 8 hours. You know, I know people to sit back and you know, they go to work and then they go to the coffee machine and then they'll stay there 30, 40 minutes and then they'll go back to their desk and then they get on the computer and they play Nintendo for 50 or 75 minutes and then, you know, the next thing you know, oh, shoot, it's time to go to lunch. You know, and I'm, is that the behavior that a recovering alcoholic needs to have? I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah, I do know, but you know, is that what we want to do? Is that what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous teaches? I don't think so. You know, this program taught me is that when I go to work, I give a guy a whole day's work, and if I'm lucky, I get a whole day's pay. And it's not for me. Only thing I have to do is just to do my part. If me doing my part, and if I'm doing everything on my end, if my side of the street is clean, then his side of the street should come clean. You know, and if win, lose, or draw, the bottom line is that when I look myself in the mirror, I can say, you did okay. You did okay. The other thing is, I have an ego. I'm in a business that calls for a lot of ego. Okay? And because it's a powerful business. Okay? It's a lot of power. And I was talking to somebody else out here today, this morning, and they was telling me about the power that we have in this business. And it's just how it messes with your psyche. You know, you're in a place 14 hours a day, and you're controlling everything about it. Everybody there are coming to you for answers. Every deal made, every move made in the store, people are coming to you for answers. Now that's power. And what do you do with it? You know, how do you create this and make it some pure substance, something good? Well, the only way that I know is by using this program. And I do believe that you can take this program anywhere you want to go. And I believe that it will take you to where you want to go. It just depends about how much you are willing to use it. You know, and the other part about it is that you just can't use bits and pieces of it. You know, it is more like the recovery and being in recovery and just using it just to not to drink. You're doing the same thing. You know, you're doing the same thing. You're being responsible. You know, you have a sponsor. You know, your employer. And another thing that's more importantly too that I want to add is that the traditions. You got to bring the traditions in. You know, I ask myself sometimes, what's my primary purpose? You know, what's my primary purpose for going to work? Is it just to make some money? You know, I got to look at all the things that a job do for me. Because it does a lot of things for me. It helps my self-esteem. You know, because when I'm not working, I feel like a bum. You know, what a job does for me, it makes me feel as though that I'm important. I'm giving back to the community because not only there, because of what I do, it creates a lot of other jobs for a lot of other people to do. All right? So I have to look at the bigger picture of what I do. And it really doesn't matter. You know, I relate to being a car salesman because that's what I do. But it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a restaurant owner. It doesn't matter if you're a carpenter. It doesn't matter if you're a cook. It doesn't matter if you're an airline pilot, a chemist, a lawyer, a judge, a doctor. It really don't matter. Because if you apply those same principles into whatever the field of employment, your field of endeavor is, it'll work for you. But it's just like everything else here. It's not going to work for you until you do what? Use some action. You must apply some action. And you must go out and do it. You know, this is a pretty hard little talk, because I think this is one of the first times that we, the committee, have decided to do this kind of deal. And one of the things we wanted to do is to bring about some substance to, you know, so when we leave here and we go back home, we'll have something that we can take, not only in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but also take it back in the workplace. You know, my wife, I called my wife the other day and I says, you know those little, postage papers? I says, you know, I need some. And she says, okay, I'll stop by Home Depot and pick up some. And I'm saying to myself, I said, gosh, you know, look what she did to me. You know, I used to go to work and I'd bring a pack of postage paper home. You know, I'm kind of stealing, huh? You know what I'm saying? Or I go to work and I get a pack of, box of ink pens, right? You know, that my employer has paid for. And not only my employer has paid for them, but the cost of the business, which the way that I get paid is by reducing the cost. And if the bottom line is low, all right, then I get paid more. Okay. So therefore, what am I doing? You know, being aware of these types of activities are essential. And I think that they are essential to the alcoholic soul. I think that not only this, they're so essential to our character and to how we are viewed by other people. You know, needless to say, I went to Home Depot and I bought some. Last but not least, I just recently, got catapulted into the ranks of unemployment. And, what I decided to do was that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I decided that I should start my own business. Okay. And in working in the work field, a thing cropped up, and this is a thing of fear. And this phenomenal fear came over me. Now, I've been doing this business for 20 years. You know, I mean, there's nothing about a car lot, a car dealership, that I don't know, and that I haven't done at one time or another. But all of a sudden, this deal of fear come over me, right? And I ask myself, what are you doing? Why? You know, I get up in the morning, and I'm at work at 8 o'clock. That's when I start working. Although, I work in my office in the house. And I go downstairs, and I cut my computer on, and I cut my fax machine on, and I start doing what I have to do. And I give it, and one of the things of it is that... I told myself that I was going to work 8 hours a day. And I work 8 hours a day. I told myself that I was going to give everything that I would give to somebody else. I would apply those same principles. Just like I was going punching the clock in, I was going to do the same thing. Okay. Now, has it worked? Well, more will, you know, just keep coming back. More will be revealed. All right, you know, but I believe. See, I believe that it can, and I believe that it will. And the reason why I believe that it can, and that I believe that it will, is because of the evidence and the things that I've seen in these rooms. And what I'm, and the point that I'm trying to bring to you, the point that I'm trying to bring across the table right now, is mainly that working on the work on the job is no different than being just a regular unemployed or a person that's in recovery. Because if you're in recovery 100%, you're gonna transition that to everything that you do. You know, Sean gave us some excellent examples about things in the book and pointed those things out to us that we can reference to. You know. And I hold everything that we do is spiritually based. So why can't it be spiritually based in the workplace? You know, why can't we transfer these same principles into the workplace? Because we get them in the promises. You know, in the promises is talking about we'll know a new happiness. You know, I used to go to work pissed, but now I have a new happiness. And the other deal about it is that it's a whole new joy. Because now it has a different meaning. Just a whole transition. I just lost it, my train of thought. I had it all worked out, man. It just went blank, man. Yes, it is. Mine is a terrible thing to waste. The other point, see, I got to get my notes now. The other point that I wanted to bring up to us principles and personalities. And our biggest deal is jealousy, envy, and greed. And in the workplace, and I know this happens, my wife tells me, my wife is a supervisor at her job, and she tells me about her other employees and how they are very jealous and just the awesome office gossip, you know, just the normal things that we do around. But we don't realize just how disruptive it is in the workplace and how defocusing it is. You know, not only does it disrupt the whole continuity of the workplace, but it also defocuses you. And it takes you away from what you actually should be doing. And then you get these other things with greed, and then those other four horsemen, you know, they come in. You know, a friend of mine, Melvin, you know, he talks about those defects of character, you know, the bus of defects of character pull up. Hey, you remember me? You know, I'm a defect. You know, hey, you know, I'm jealous. You know, jealousy pops out. But when that happens, what does it do for us? Well, for the alcoholic, I know for me what it does for me, it takes me out of my spiritual balance. And then when it takes me out of my spiritual balance, now I'm not focused, and it causes me to do things that I'll say that I have to go and make an amends for. Okay? It causes me to go do things that I have to make amends for. And you know, I'm one, I really don't like to make amends, you know. I really don't like to tell people that I'm sorry, but I have to, you know. And the reason why is because I allow myself to get spiritually unbalanced for action that took place because I participated in something that I really didn't have no business in. You know, and that takes me back to the traditions. You know, I look at, what's my common purpose, you know. You know, the first tradition tells me that unity is my common goal. You know, not only unity in the workplace, unity with my workers, unity with the other people, with my job, with my boss. You know, and if I apply that kind of principle there of unity, it just seems like that it gets along better. You know, it just gets along. I get along better. You talk about property, prestige, okay? You know, and then you say, well, that's what I work for. I work for property, prestige, and money, and all that good stuff, right? Right? Well, if you went to work and you did what you're supposed to do, and you practiced the principles the way that they're supposed to be practiced, then all those things will come to you anyhow. You see? It won't be, you know, it'll be kind of like aftermath. You know, or something that goes along. You know, that's one of those second nature things is one of those things that just happened, you know, because of. It wasn't the primary focus. Because when I focus on that primarily, again, I'm spiritually unbalanced. Last and not least, I got plenty of time. Oh, my God. Don't tell me that. That's the worst thing to tell a drunk. You got plenty of time. Make fun? Oh, okay. Just in the whole atmosphere of the employer, you will have different things to come up that causes a lot of dissension. And my whole point is that a viable deal? some of us may say, well, why do I want to make this job such a humongous, such a unified and such a nice place, because it's not supposed to be that way? Well, that's the place that most of us spend most of our time at. You know, most of us spend, 8 hours plus, and if you're like me, you're 14, 15 hours plus on the job. You know, so if I'm going to be there that long, why not make it a real pleasant place to be? Did I mention my primary purpose? I mentioned my primary purpose? Okay. Well, I think that's about it. That's all I got. Sean? We want to try to break up into, anybody else got anything they want to say about the, yes?
I hope you'll deal with these questions. I hope you'll deal with, how to deal with your authority figures in the workplace. I hope you'll deal with that in this workshop. And I hope you'll deal with what this partnership in the workplace looks like when you don't think there's any chance of finding a workplace, in this workplace, any integrity.
Okay.
What I'm really saying is how to have your own principles and operate out of them, even when you can't see other people are. Because that's what I'm like as an alcoholic. That guy said it tonight. As soon as I get hurt, I get mad.
Yeah.
And I'm already running my resentment, and I don't have time to go. My assumption is I don't have time at work to go deal with them. And I've been fired a bunch of times too, so I
want to
know more
about
that.
Okay. Alright. Yeah.
I struggle with the same sort of thing, obedience, the spiritual principle of love. I have very little on a day-to-day basis accountability to my employer. I have a lot of freedom, very unstructured, and so I can go in my own direction, and sometimes the direction that I want to go in, I know maybe taking a risk, I'm encouraged to do that, but I tend to pull the whole weight of the company onto myself, and that's not my responsibility. I'm an employee. You know, my performance is not measured by meeting a certain number of tasks. My performance is measured by getting big picture things done, and so I end up often taking on more responsibility, working 80, 90 hour weeks, not having balance, and I really struggle with that.
Okay. Yeah. Sean, you want to address any of that?
I think that's a really good point, the second comment made. Jim, we'll come back to you. I think with alcoholics, we have a tendency to, I know with me, that in this growth, I've had a real hard time identifying who I am and genuinely developing a sense of humility and self-esteem. I know when I started this last endeavor that I went down there, and especially when I was working with my father. He's actually a silent partner of mine, and he's in the construction business, so we were finishing the actual construction of the restaurant, and I was still 3.5 years sober, trying to gain his approval and get my self-esteem through him, because at that point in time he was somewhat of my boss. So I was working 100 hours a week before we opened up, day and night, like a madman. My meetings, I got lax in my meetings. I got too little sleep. I was hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Then I went into the opening of the business, and again, I had to prove myself to whoever that may be. And I worked another 100 hours a week for another 3 months until I ran myself physically, spiritually, and emotionally ragged. I felt like at the time that's what I needed to do to be okay. And it took me being sober and the wheels rolling off and getting to an emotional and physical low in sobriety at 4 years sober, with all these wonderful extraneous things going on about me, a successful business, being young, and being miserable sober, and by the grace of not by the grace of God not getting drunk, because I did nothing to take care of the malady that I have, for me to realize I had to be okay with me, because the only person I'm truly accountable today is me, and that's true on a spiritual level, but also because I am my own employer now. And if I wanted to, I could work 20 hours a week. I've got people that I've now trained that are competent to run the business. That's not okay with me. What's also not okay with me is it's not okay for me to work 80 hours a week anymore either, because I neglect my spiritual sobriety. I don't get to meetings enough. I'm too tired when I go to meetings. I don't spend enough time with my friends, my wife, and therefore that's not okay either. I found a middle area, 50, 60 hours a week, that for me, I feel okay with. So I'm not sure if that in any way helped you, but ultimately I had to find where I was okay, and begin to truly develop some self-esteem and some humility, knowing where I fit in God's world. As far as dealing with authority figures and dealing with people not seeing other people practicing the principles, I can totally relate to that, because I'm the only person. No, now I've hired one other person that's in the program, and I have anywhere between 25 to 40 employees in any given time. And due to the industry I'm in, and Doc possibly also, alcoholism and drug use is very high, mm-hmm. very high. And it's been very challenging trying to talk to these people and to use these principles and for them to get it. And at times I've had to break away and use different tactics. I like to be soft-spoken. I like to try to talk with the people and communicate with them, try to, you know, be empathic and, you know that I'm trying to understand where they're coming from. And ultimately, at times, without publicly humiliating them or without doing anything to embarrass them, I've had to try to keep the principles but elevate the tone, to try to explain to them in a very passionate way, you know, my principles. And sometimes that's necessary. But the key is I have to do it within the realm that it's okay with me. Was I honest with this person? Did I practice integrity? Was I true to thyself? And another thing that I struggle with, and I struggled with it on the employee side and the employer side, is sometimes being too passive aggressive. Because ultimately, as an alcoholic and as a sober alcoholic, I still have a problem wanting people to like me. And sometimes I'll just put up with stuff, to the point that I'm really resenting either my employer or my employee, to the point where I just can't stand them anymore. And that's right there. I'm not practicing the spiritual principle of being honest. I'm not dealing with it with myself, saying, okay, this behavior out of them is bothering me, and I'm practicing avoidance. And instead of going to them and saying, hey, let's talk about this. You know, we have rules here. You know, you're supposed to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning, not 10:15. You come in whistling at 10:15 every morning. And why is that? Instead of just letting it go on and on. I've had a history of being defiant myself, and I think that's just alcoholics. And for me, it's a pride thing. Again, they're back to me not thinking the rules applied to me, but in fact, the rules do apply to me, and if I'm working for someone, I need to do what they expect out of me if it's within reason. And if they're, and this is my belief, but if they're lacking the integrity or not practicing principles in their affairs, and it's to the point that makes me that uncomfortable, then I need to, you know, I do the serenity prayer on. If I, you know, I can't change it, you know, I'd have the wisdom to know what I can change or what I accept. So it's a tough situation. It's very challenging to do this in the workplace, but it is possible. And like Doc said, you know, our household and our work, that's consists of about 90% of our life. I guess we know we do some sleeping as well, but as far as our, you know, actually being conscious and awake, you know, those are two most important things. And I know for me that if I practice vigilance and these principles, and really it has to be vigilant on a daily basis. I've got to be honest with myself. I've got to, you know, I've got to try to be humble. I've got to practice the integrity and not let these resentments or this passive aggressiveness build up, and to deal with things promptly, like the thoughts around the 10th step.
Yeah. Balance. You know, I remember 12 hours on the car lot. As soon as you leave the car lot, it come up. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to leave. You just want to be there. But I had to get meetings in. So what I had to do was I had to figure out how can I work my program and work too. So I just made me a little schedule. And I says, well, okay, I'm going to go to this noon meeting. And I started going to this noon meeting every day. And that's why I got my meeting in. And then I would go back to work after it was over with. It was just that simple. That's where I took lunch at. And I had to start realizing that it was just more important for me to take care of me than for me to take care of this job. Because if I didn't take care of me, I wasn't going to have the job. And that's where the importance lies for me. As far as the things of my integrity, you know, and my business is my business, and what somebody else do is somebody else's business. And I try to keep, you know, again, I'm back in traditions, you know, I got to keep the focus on me. You know, it's not so much about what you do at work or what you do, or if you come in late, I need to be on time. I need to be there and give 100%. And I need to practice some tolerance. I need to practice patience. And I need to practice humility. You know, again, just because I'm an alcoholic doesn't necessarily mean that I got to be a floor mat. You know, I don't have to allow people to walk on me. I do have choice. You know, this program, y'all gave me the choice. You gave me a new freedom. You know, and this new freedom deals with the fact that I could choose just how much of stuff I want to take and how much of stuff I don't have to take. You know, again, if I got my side of the street clean, then that's all I'm really responsible for. And if the other parties don't come clean, well, then they just don't come clean. Now, I have to make a choice of whether or not I want to deal with them or continue to deal with them or not. It's, you know, and it's based on what's really going on. Rules, infractions, every business I know have some type of rules, and they have some type of organizational plan, and I get my manual and I read it, and I understand where the line go. And because there's no business that I know of that require you to do something immoral or illegal. Somebody back here.
I've been a part of the same people about over 20 years, and we went on strike earlier this year, and it's getting to the point where I really, it's like I wake up in the morning hoping I'm too sick to go to work, you know, one of those kind of jobs. It's taken me 22 years to work my way back to the bottom. And I have a difficult time practicing the spiritual principles that I need to practice and giving them a good 8 hours work for a good 8 hours pay, knowing that I'm not going to get my fair share of the time. I know that I need to concentrate on me and keeping my side of the street clean, as you said, but I just have a hard time. And it's like dealing with a dope boy. You go in there and he's cussing you out, and you still got to keep going back. I tried to venture off into my own business. It's about a month and a half old. So I'm working two full-time jobs now with that and my regular employees. My problem is just having a hard time working the spiritual principles that I need to work. Keep my side of the street clean, and that's just being honest.
Here again, You know, my responsibility deals with me and my alcoholism. I know who I am. See, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I got to know who they are or somebody got to be agreeable with me in what I do. And the other most important thing that I have in this program is I do have choice. See, I don't have to go to the dope boy and get cussed out because I choose not to. I really choose not to. And if I'm forced to do something else, then I'm just forced to do something else. And that's just how I see it. You know, because you was quoting the book earlier, and you said the spiritual life is.
Spiritual life is not a theory we have to live in.
Okay, spiritual life is not a theory we have to live in. See, it's not a theory. I don't, you know, I just, it's just like the Nike commercial. I just do this. Neil?
I was thinking about what Paul said at the top on that, is that he knew he was wrong and he just found the acceptance. What I learned, and I've been on all sides of defense of employers and employees, is that in a job, about 50% of it is going to be routine. 25% is going to be stuff that really turns me on, and 25% is going to be the crap that somebody's got to do. And if the crap gets to be 30 or 35% consistently, maybe I better think about finding another employment. The good stuff gets to be more than 25%. Thank God, and then go with it. And so, and I've had problems with resentment on my job in the past. You know, they weren't treating me fairly. I wasn't getting what I deserved. And sometimes I was right, but my attitude was always resentment. Give me, give me, give me. To look at what I'm doing. And until I learned that it wasn't about them, it was about me. I was unhappy even when I was getting bonuses and pay raises. And so it comes down to acceptance. I learned a lot of things. Like, if I knew there was going to be a really heavy meeting coming up or something was going on, I would go into the job. And I would go into a stall because no one's going to bother me there. And I would take some deep breaths and say, God, help me not to be an asshole. You know, whatever it took so that I didn't react like you're talking about any anger and messing up what these people aren't doing. I had a boss who hadn't, or not a boss, but a guy that was higher up in the company than me that I had to work with. That had no integrity. And I wouldn't look the other way. Corporate controller, I couldn't do that. And that got me into a lot of conflict. And eventually, he was fired. But I had a lot of hard times with that. And I practiced a lot of defects as well as principles. I was self-righteous. I got God on my side. But this is honest, you know? And I'm doing this. I made people miserable because I was so self-righteous about how good I was. Even when I was right, I was wrong. Because I didn't have the unity the doctors talk about. I didn't see that principle. It takes a while to learn all this stuff. But like you had said, you had gotten fired a number of times. Well, maybe they're not all assholes. They might be. They might be. But what am I doing wrong? Because I'm the one who's miserable. I went to that job every day like a white knight. I'm going to save this company from this jerk. And we're going to get back on track. And I worked my butt off for 80, 90 hours a week for 2 years. To get the company to a place, and I was miserable. And whose fault was that? Mine. I was right, technically, in a business sense, and wrong, because I didn't set boundaries. That's what we're talking about. What are the boundaries? What's my purpose? What's my job? What's my side of the street? It was not practicing what I've been taught in this program. And I made myself miserable. I learned to let go, and I love what Paul said about it. That was their rule. And I did it, and I didn't quite. I just accepted it. Acceptance is hard for me, even today. But I'm a lot less miserable, even when they're doing their side of the street wrong. I can let that go most of the time. Whether I'm an employer, and I've had to fire a lot of people, or as an employee, and like an employer, as I'm telling the thing, I want people to like me. I want to make it nice sometimes. And so I would tolerate some unacceptable behavior, and I'd be passive aggressive. Progress, not perfection. I didn't learn management techniques overnight. I didn't learn good employee techniques overnight. Sobriety didn't come overnight. Give yourself a break. It's always talking to sponsors about what's going on and try to get honest with what's inside. When I do that, I'm better off. You know, I'm a better employee, a better employer, and I got a lot more humanity. And that's my gauge today. Can I live on my own standards? And I don't have the answers sometimes, and I need help. And sometimes I make mistakes when I'm well intentioned, and that's okay today. But at the end of the day, I can go home and say I've done the best I can do here. And if I have an amend to make, you know, I don't know where to go. You know? But I don't have that chain of resentment that I had, or that out of balance creepiness that I had trying to prove something. But I've learned it here, you know, and it takes time.
Hey, my name's Paul. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Paul.
How it works, huh? It says in there, line in the big book, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it. Half measures avail us nothing. You know, I've learned a long time ago from my sponsor, Papa Joe, don't put limitations on anything I do in life. If we have this freedom and we have this joyous, free life that we've been given, we take it everywhere. Practice in principles. Words are but leaves, and deeds are the fruit. It sounds great for me to talk and say, yeah, that's what I do. But I learned through experience in my time in Alcoholics Anonymous that I don't put any limitations on what I do. And because of what I do financially, I'm in better shape than I've ever been in my life. I've got things that I've earned, and I feel good about it, and they were through my efforts. But I didn't put limitations on it. When we put limitations, we let me tell a story. I got time to tell a story, Doc.
Make it a short one.
Doc and Paul worked for the railroad. They're sitting beside on some track, on some rails. They had just finished laying a section of rail, and they're eating their lunch, and here comes this train down the track, and how much time we got? Oh, for 10 minutes. 2 hours. Here comes this train down the track, and they think it's a work train bringing more supplies. As it pulls up in front of them, they look at it and realize it happens to be the private car of the president of the railroad. And they wonder what it'd be like to be in that car. I wonder what it'd be like to be president of the railroad. And pretty soon the window opens up and the guy hollers out, "Hey, Paul, is that you?" Paul gets up and walks over to the car and talks through the window a little bit, and then he goes inside the car. He comes back out about 20 minutes later, back over to where Doc's sitting with his lunch. Doc said, "What went on in there? Do you know that guy that works for the president?" Paul said, "No." He said, "That happens to be the president of the railroad I was talking to." He said, "You know the president of the railroad?" And he said, "Yeah, sure do." He said, Paul tells him, "Doc," he said, "him and I went to school together, we went to service together, we got out of service, came here and got jobs at the railroad, and here we are." Doc said, "Well, how is he the president of the railroad and you're still out here laying ties with me?" And Paul tells him the awful truth. "What happens when my buddy and I came to get jobs with the railroad, I went to work for $1.75 an hour, and he went to work for the railroad. Where I'm at, I've got an 8th grade education. I've worked with Doc a little bit. I enjoyed the heck out of that stuff. Selling cars. And there is power in that. You can leave people around them lots and whatever, but I've got an 8th grade education. I've been responsible for jobs that range over $40 and $50 million. And where did I get that at? Because what it was, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, I put my time in it, I studied what I'm doing, but also I practice the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, that there's times that I spend with a bunch of drunks, just being another member of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's times that I spend with my family, and there's times that I spend on my job. And it took time for me to realize how much time I had to do what I had to do. But if I go to work for you, I'm not going to have any half measures, because I can't live with that. Maybe everybody around me can, but that's okay with them. I can't have half measures, so I study and try to do the best job that I can. And I don't work for an hourly rate. I don't work for a salary. I work for the enjoyment of doing the job that I do. And guess what? I get the rewards from that, because I set no limitations on it.
I'm Wayne. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Wayne.
I'm back here, and I've been in the same job for 25 years, and 18 years known as an active drunk, and 7 years sober. And this program has helped me so much. And one of the first things I learned was in early sobriety, my first sponsor was independently employed, and he had gone through a succession of quitting and quitting and quitting, and finally went into his own situation. And he didn't have what I needed in the relativity of working in corporate America. So I saw somebody that had that experience, and that's who I used as my mentor and sponsor, because he
knew what corporate America was like. And I was starting in the family-owned business that was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I had that CFO that had come into the situation, a new player, just had an ego bigger than mine. That was hard to believe. And it was a little difficult to deal with. And he just liked to, he's just the office jerk, and he's equally discriminatory. He discriminates against everybody in that office. He beats everybody up and browbeats you. And it was real hard to deal with, but I love my job. And that was the, I liked what I did. I had a passion for it, so I wasn't willing to just go away. But at the same time, I swapped. I complained about it. I made vicious threats that I was going to leave, and I was very fortunate they didn't pick me up on it. But as I worked the steps and worked this program, I learned that, you know, you talked about humility. But what's the opposite of it? False pride and arrogance. And I had to hear that, and other, because anytime I get in an arrogant state, and I'm full of myself, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not working this program. And that's the first thing, because I can get arrogant real quick. My ego gets in the way. And the other part that really helps me the most in work is the end of the St. Francis prayer. The whole prayer is fabulous, because it's an action prayer. But the last part of it is to understand rather than be understood. I have to say that sometimes. I do the same thing. I go in the bathroom and say, okay, it's not about me. It's to understand. And when I'm in that state, I'm good. And the other parts that I've learned about Wayne, and the big book tells me that too, is I don't think right. I'm not connected over. So automatically I'm starting to go into the wrong thinking process the minute something happens the way I don't want it to happen. So I can't always trust my thinking. So I have to pause. I need 24 hours. Go home. Call your sponsor. Or call from work. Don't act on it. Don't. I'll be sorry. I always am. And if I wait, pause, it works. And Gentleman Paul said it best. I like going to work. I wake up in the morning now, and it's all about attitude. I love going to work. And it shows. For 3 years, I looked for rewards, pats on the back, and I got the worst evaluation you could ever get. Because I was needed. I was looking for it. In the last 6 months, I keep hearing about what a great job I'm doing, and I haven't done anything. It's just what I do in the morning before I go to work, center myself, and go to work with an attitude of service and a passion for my job, and know I make a difference if I do my best. And it works. It really works better.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay.
Mike, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mike.
When I first got sober, I was a good alcoholic, so I worked in a field that you could be an alcoholic and get by with it, you know, or seem to. I did a lot of construction work and stuff. And when I first got sober, in the first 7 months, I had 5 jobs. 3 of them I got fired from. And I showed up every day on, you know, and did what I thought was my best work and stuff like that. And I couldn't understand what was wrong, you know, because I was really trying hard and trying to turn things around. And it wasn't a real pleasant experience, but for every job that I lost, God gave me another job. And that job was a little bit better than the last one. And what, you know, and that went on until I finally kind of leveled out and started working for some people and all, and got on my feet again. And today I work for myself, and I just recently had to hire a full-time person. And one thing I had to do with these principles and stuff is to make sure that I did everything legitimately right. You know, I had to pay them. I had to, you know, get a federal ID number. I had to pay taxes. I have to, you know, go through all that process. And, you know, it wasn't something that, you know, I was scared to death to go through all that because I don't know how to do it. But this program, you know, I've learned that there's a lot of people, there's always solutions if I'm willing to work for them or look at them. And, you know, sobriety has been a walk in faith for me. You know, every day get up and ask God to give me another day of sobriety. But I have to put that when I go to work, you know. that God's going to provide for me, you know, the tools and the whatever I need necessary to make it through that, you know, to work that day and to be successful as long as I'm, you know, doing my part, which is, you know, the best I can and being honest and having integrity, doing what I'm saying I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it, regardless of the circumstances. And, you know, the point is that early on working for other people, I had to learn that. Sometimes I worked with people who didn't have any integrity. But that didn't excuse the fact that I couldn't have it. You know, I still had to go on and do the best and, you know, whatever the result were is what happened. And I did get fired. And I did have a hard time with employers. I worked for a guy who was in the program, you know. And what I did have to learn was that when I left the job because it was I couldn't continue to work in that environment, that I did it right. I gave a guy my notice, you know. I fulfilled my obligations that was expected of me, and I moved on. And in other words, I try to keep my side of the street clean. And today, those things have been good lessons for me, and I just know that I have to continually to work these principles. Like, you know, the first step, we're powerless. Well, there's a lot of things in life I'm powerless over, and I need to understand that. But the things I am powerful over is like me. I can do what I'm supposed to do. Whether other people do it or not, I don't have all the control for that. So that's part of the principle that I try to take into work with me every day. And, you know, it's like praying. I think I pray every day on my job and ask God to help me. You know, third step, seventh step. You know, those things are always on my mind. And the fact is that humility says, hey, I make mistakes. And I need to be able to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, and take care of it correctly. You know, and sometimes that costs me money, and I don't like that. But I've always found that in the long run, whatever money that might cost me, it really comes back to me. But that's the gift of the program, by doing the right thing. And, you know, I'm grateful that I have this program, and I don't know if I'll be in business tomorrow, but I do know that if I keep working this program the best of my ability, God will continue to provide for me what I need to live.
Right. 10 minutes. Okay, we got about 10 more minutes. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
My name is Wim. I'm an addict. Alcoholic, I'm sorry. Alcoholic addict. I work for my employer. He's pretty wealthy. And just recently, he invited me to a sports bar and a contract. And in the sports bar, we were going over, you know, some of the agenda, some of the things that we need to handle as far as business is concerned, the contractor and him being the employer. So he suggests that, you know, a couple times, would I like some scotch? And I'm like, well, no thanks, I'll just drink coffee. Further on in the meeting, would you like some scotch? No thanks, I'll drink some coffee. It happens maybe about an hour later or so, you know, he's drinking all the scotch and he asks me again. But no thanks, I'll drink some coffee. And it came up that, you know, he asked me. He said, are you a recovering alcoholic? And I said, yeah. And it's kind of like what the gentleman was saying back there. Is that in prayer, I'm praying all the time. It's like, well, is this guy going to ask me if I am a recovering alcoholic? Is he going to ask me? Because I know what I have to answer him honestly, you know, and also use an integrity. That's an integrity and say, look, I don't drink, and the reason why I don't drink is because I've had, you know, situations in the past where I just couldn't deal with the, you know, the consumption of alcohol. So it really just got to that point where I really used the program and the courage for me to tell him, yes, I was a recovering alcoholic, that it kind of like, I believe that it really set him in a position of where he was able to identify with the character of AA, as opposed to just me saying, no, I don't have a drink, but the character of AA was actually used as something that he could identify with. And for that, I'm grateful. Thanks.
You know, one thing that I do is that in my own personal anonymity, there is enough. You know, I mean, I'm real comfortable with who I am, and I'm a drunk. I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm a drug addict, and I don't mind telling you that. And I've been in a lot of situations where there's a lot of partying and you know, and a lot of other booze is being served and what have you. And I just tell people, I says, look, I don't drink, and that's my choice. It's not, you know, and the fellowship, I don't use the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. What I use is that I am recovering, and that's it. I just had all my drink up. You know, I just drunk all my portion up. You know, in life, you only get so much to drink, and I just use all mine up before time. Okay? You know, and the other part about it is that my comfortability level is that I really don't care what you think about it. You know, I really don't. And if you got a problem with it, then you need to take it wherever you go with whatever problems you have, because I'm okay with it. You know, and especially around in the workplace, you know. I don't wear this program necessarily too tight, but I don't wear it necessarily too loose either, because it's some serious thing, and my life is a part of it, and I'm a part of it. You know, and this is where I want to spend most of my time at in the workplace. So I think that the people that I work with need to know who I am. I have had people, I have worked for people that, one store owner that I worked for, and he was in recovery. You know, and the reason why I know, because I told him that I was, and then he finally, one day, he decided to be my buddy, and we sharing experience, strength, and hope. You know, because in my industry, it was a lot of drugs and a lot of alcohol and a lot of partying and a lot of stuff. But, and I have to look at it as that there's not any special deals. Just because I work for an alcoholic and I am an alcoholic, should I expect a special deal? Should I expect a special privilege? You know, am I, you know, who pimping who? Am I pimping AA, or, you know, what's really going on here? You know what I'm saying? What's really going on here? So that's what, you know, that's all I got to say about it. I really appreciate all of you all comments and all of the help in making this workshop successful. I think we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. And hopefully the committee will see it necessary to do this kind of workshop again, because I see that it is a lot of interest and it is some very good response. Sean, you want to?
Set it off. Thank you all.
All right. Thank you.